Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller. Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Off Tackle with John Fita and Joe Miller, quasi weird. Second week in a row, holiday special, part due, co-op show, all the time.
Holiday. Happy New Year, Joe.
Happy New Year, John Fina. How are you and the family doing?
We're terrific. Happy New Year, Bills Mafia. Happy New Year to everybody in the chat. Tracy, Brian, David, Maggie, Brian, Richard, and whoever else I missed. Blah, 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 Happy blah. New Year.
There's a bunch, and there's a whole bunch of people online with us right now, too, which is awesome. Welcome to everybody. For those of you that are joining us, welcome to the show. The show is brought to you by the Market Dominator, as well as Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller. That over there is John Fina. And we're going to talk some Buffalo Bills football during this show, a little bit about this game from yesterday, this Patriots game, and then maybe preview a little bit, talk about what's going to happen next week. It's all in the middle, John. All the chips are in the middle of the table, all in the middle.
But I can't believe we're here saying that after, you know, being, what was it, 5-5 or 6-6 and six. Losing to Denver and in that just that heartbreaker in Philadelphia. I'm just so like I feel like, can this team just pull it together? And then you feel like they're pulling it together. And then yesterday happens and you're just like saying, thank God we just couldn't allow ourselves to lose to that hot mess from New England. I mean, as much as we wanted to try in the first quarter on offense, you know.
I definitely want to have conversations around that stuff. But before we get started, let's hear from one of the first sponsors of the show, the Market Dominator. Sit tight. This is John Spaschek.
Introducing the Market Dominator.
Folks, I'm John Spaschek. That's right, the Market Dominator. And I am the proud sponsor of the Overreaction podcast hosted by my good friend, Joe Miller. You know, his approach is absolutely outstanding. It's excellent. And that's what our approach is when we get into real estate. We help our clients win, just like our beloved team is doing week in and week out. So folks, if you want somebody representing you with the most cutting edge technology, using artificial intelligence and everything we can get our hands on to help you win, you reach out to me directly, 716-570-3298. We will answer our phone. And one more thing, go Bills.
Go Bills. John, it is a tough market to buy or sell a home in. Like I'm glad. It's funny because I've said to Beth a couple times, like, I feel trapped in our house because my interest rate is so low. Like, I think we're paying like 2.5 or 2.6. It's like, how do I sell this house? I have a 30-year loan of free money. Like, like 3.2 is like the normal time value of money. And I'm below that. Like, this is free money. But if you are in the market, go ahead.
I just can't imagine it's ever going to come below 5. Again,
I agree 100%. But if you were in the market to buy or sell a home, please do what I did. Call John Spaschek and the Market Dominator team, 716-570-3298. The number again, 716-570-3298. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. But you started. You got it. You got us started already. And I think for me, before we get into the good and the bad, how long can you, this team is prolific and has been for a couple of years. I think you would agree that they play to the level of their opponent. I don't want to say down anymore because it doesn't, they play to the level of whatever they're getting. If they're getting the Chiefs, they're playing to the level of the Chiefs. If they're getting the Eagles, they're playing to the level of the Eagles. If they're getting the 1-10 Patriots, and that's not what they are. They're playing to the level of the Patriots. How long do you think a team can carry making mistakes, overcoming them, that resilience piece, which you learn how to win, right? Finding ways to win. How long can you sustain that? Is that something you feel like is like, no, this is just who they are?
No, you can't sustain it. And it's kind of curious. Like you keep thinking that this isn't the team that they have been, right? This year, particularly playing to their opponent. And I just don't think it, if it continues to go this way, we make it in the playoffs, you know, maybe we have one home game. I think the first road game, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, the competition just gets too big, too much at stake. But I still believe, right? I still think that they could put it together. But if they don't, you're just not going deep. You're not right. Going deep.
Right. And I think that's the biggest concern that I have is just like, you want to be hitting that stride like the Ravens seem to have found, right? Everything is clicking. So there's an aspect of like, if you find yourself getting that number two seed next week, you've got two home games at least, and then you're going to have to, if the Ravens don't get bounced, you're going to have to go to Baltimore and play, which you've shown last year you can win in Baltimore. Like, that's not outside of the world of realization. You've beaten Baltimore at home in the playoffs in your own stadium. So you can, but you're almost going to have to like garbage them down, right? Like, because they're right. I don't know if you caught any of that Ravens game. They just look efficient. Like everybody's scoring touchdowns. Like it's just, it's crazy.
I didn't catch that game. You know, we did the trial for YouTube TV just so we could watch the Bills game. And I'm not a big split screen kind of guy. You know, I find that if I do that, then I really have to go back and watch the film.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I tried to get through the first quarter and, oh man, it kept freezing up on me. And I was like, forget it. I'm just going to wing the show. I'm tired of studying. I'm tired of the research. I mean, can't I just go out there and wing it like they're doing every week and just put a, you know, iffy product out on the field?
You don't believe that. It would have been funnier if you said, can I just go to the show and like talk down to the level of my co-host? Like, I'm just going to come in at the mental level of Joe.
It's New Year's, Joe. You and I should, you know, spring eternal and rebuild our relationship. Then you stop stabbing me in the back.
That was not me stabbing you in the back. That was me stabbing myself in the back. I was just saying, like, there was an easier dig out there. You could have just easily just, like, gone and got it. But so, yeah. So, I mean, talking about this football game, just overarching just thoughts real quick as far as just what where are you at on the whole – just what you saw yesterday. And I was there. I was at the game. It was a good football game. It was the opening sequences. The first quarter were very strange. My dad sat there in disbelief again. They intercepted it again. Like, there was just, yeah. So what were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm really excited about our defense until they, you know, a little bit of soft coverage here and there, giving up a little too much field. But man, the defense looks really good. You know, the corners are playing really well. I mean, Terrell Bernard just continues to impress. The defensive front, Ed Oliver, is looking fantastic. It's nice to see Daquan Jones back. Hopefully, you know, he gets his sea legs, gets his wind, right? Gets back into shape. And I'm sure he's been running on that treadmill, but it's a completely different thing being on the field and, you know, trying to press and move with guys leaning on you. But offensively, oh, God. I mean, it was, you know, one aspect of the game. Or one group, right? One position group. Every play was just so unimpressive. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. You can't have, you know, three guys. You know, you can't have the wide receiver crew dropping balls. You can't have Josh missing on passes.
Right, right.
You can't give up, you know, pressure intermittently. Right. You know, we've got to put together an offensive performance where the whole group just looks really good, play in and play out. And it's just, it wasn't there. And it's a bit of a head scratcher. I didn't look at the entire game, but I thought we were soft in the middle, which is, you know, we've seen some poor play, not poor, but questionable play at the tackle position, and the guards and center have been pretty good. But yesterday it was, you know, It was the guards and center. Mm-hmm. So, and again, the kicking game, it's just maddening. I don't know. I don't know what to say, man. I other than what I always say, can you just go out there and do nothing? Just do nothing. Make a tackle, don't no penalties. It's murderous.
If we're going to jump to a topic that would be the work, right? What needs work? The bad. I just don't, for the life of me, understand what benefit there is to kicking the football to the 1 yard line. If you kick the ball out of the end zone or into the end zone and force them to down it, they get the ball to 25. And while I'm sure that defensively you don't want to give your opponent consistent drive starts to the 25, I don't know that them having consistent drive starts at the 19 or the 20 or the 21 or 22
are worth it. They're not worth it. I hear what you're saying, Joe, but it's not like, I know the ball is just sitting there and you're the kicker, but you're still running up to it from whatever, 8 to 12 yards. And, you know, your plant foot's got to be, so, you know, you misstrike it. The golf ball never moves, Joe. And I spray that damn thing everywhere.
I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. It is very intentional. So when Tyler Bass is going to kick the ball to the end zone, yes, he runs up from 10 or 12 yards. When he's going to kick the ball to the 1 or 2 yard line, he takes a 3-step drop. He basically takes a field goal stance and kicks it from 3 steps. So it's when they kick the ball to the 1 or 2, it's intentional, and they do it all the time. But the worst possible thing that could happen, the best thing that happens is they get the ball at the 19 or the 21. The worst thing is they return it for a touchdown. And I don't know in any scenario where the trade-off is worth it. Like a whole season of 21-yard line starts, and then if they give up a touchdown, it's not worth, and they lose a game because of it potentially. It's just not worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, we agree. We don't even have to talk about this anymore. And anybody who doesn't agree should just hang up their YouTube.
Speaking of YouTube, that's a great segue, unintentional segue. Appreciate everybody that has joined us live. There's a lot of you on Twitter, on X right now joining us. We are Super Chat Live. So if you want to get in and ask John a question, or if you've got a comment about the football game, please jump over to YouTube. There's an ability to Super Chat there. It'll glow on my screen, so I'll be able to see it and pull it up. Just know that there's a lot of you, so it's not a situation where I'm ignoring anybody. It's just sometimes hard to get to the conversation in the comments, where there's a whole other culture going on over there, just because John and I are obviously having conversations about the game itself. But I thought overall the game was good. Anytime you're going to come out with a victory, it's a good thing. I would say this, there wasn't a point in this game that I was nervous.
Even after the first 4 seconds of the game?
I was not. It was very turnabout is fair play, like how the turntables, right? It's kind of like that whole funny thing. Like we started the game, the last game of the season, or the last time we played them last year, with two opening kickoff returns for touchdowns, and then they did it to us this year. I was like, oh, that's funny, right? Just kind of how life seems to play out sometimes.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't find it as amusing as you do, Joe.
The immediate turnover was important to me. Bailey Zappi, as much as he's better than Mac Jones, you know, there just wasn't a lot for me to be nervous about in this football game. I felt like the Bills did what they had to. I'm waiting for the offense to come to life.
I'm a little head scratching about the philosophy, right? I mean, it just seems to me you should be building packages week in and week out that are going to push off the depth a little bit, whether it's Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs, or, you know, I do think that Kincaid can run the seam as a threat. And that just begs for Shakir or Diggs to be underneath that. And look, if we have to roll Josh, do a mini roll and drag him from the other side, run the safeties off deep from the right and drag him across, let's do it. We got to get the ball to Stephon Diggs. And I feel like they're not really building the package. Everybody says, well, what's wrong with Diggs? And, you know, is he injured? And you saw him carry the ball from the backfield at the 8 yard line.
Well,
and if you saw the way he moved, and I looked at that play very closely, I don't think that he's hurt. He looks good. I mean, he's moving good. So let's get a little bit more threatening philosophy and package together.
I guess I would lean into you. If there were times or when there were times that your offense was sputtering when you were on the field, what did you do between? I mean, was there anything you could do? What does the team do? Like, how do you find a reset button? How do you go back? Because it seems like so much of football is about building on what you've done in the past and not going backwards. So it's like, it's Ocean's, is it 13? I think where he's like, kill the power. And he's like, that's an old gag. We've done that gag. We're not doing that gag again. Like, is it similar to that where it's like, we ran those plays. We're not running those plays anymore. Why can't you go back to them?
Well, so you can go back for them, but on particular plays where you're doing something that hasn't been seen from a formation that you haven't shown before, it's kind of hard to go back to that unless you're building a full package out of that formation. But what concerns me, and no one's ever asked me, and thank God, because what I don't know about it, you could just about squeeze into the Grand Canyon, is you should be able to run 10 plays and understand that the defensive philosophy is for that game, right? Mm-hmm. And then you should be able to say, okay, well, they want to take away the middle of the field. We are going to have to press and get to the edges. Do we want the quarterback out of the pocket? And I'm not sure that I'm getting that feeling that we are evolving during the game, responding to what they're doing. And I just don't believe at this level anymore, you could just say, oh, we got Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Kincaid. We're just going to, impose our will on everybody.
Right,
It just doesn't happen anymore. These guys are too good.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of rally and what they come up with this week. Specifically, for whatever reason, the Bills have always done a very good job of matching up against the Dolphins. Even the game that we lost last year, Josh threw for 400 yards. There was 6 key mistakes that they made in that game last year that if any one of them had gone a different way, they probably would have won that football game. So it'll be fun. They're going to have to do something because the Dolphins can get away. They can boat race you in a hurry if you're not careful, right? So keeping them in check and maintaining offensively is important. Good from this game. I don't know how, you don't have to go any further than Rasul Douglas. This kid, the pickup at the deadline, and there's been a lot of people on social media talking about what a trade it was and how like the work that Bean did to get him. And admittedly, on shows, I didn't know necessarily who he was. I was familiar with his name, but to me, when you think Packers, you're thinking Jair Alexander, not Rasul Douglas. But this kid fits this defense so well. And he actually said yesterday he loves it here. Like they asked him, because I think the sideline reporter said, but it seems like you like it here. And he's like, I love it here. So,
I laugh at that, right? I mean, people say, oh, you don't want to go to Buffalo. You've ever been to Green Bay? I mean, Buffalo is like, you're at the top of the Freedom Tower when you're in Buffalo compared to freaking Green Bay. You're like in the basement. Holy cow. Oh, man. I do. I love that player, and what a great trade it was. But we between he and Floyd, that's the good, right? The defense is coming on strong right now. That is just so brilliant. You go back to look at when the Ravens won it all. Who was the quarterback? You could hardly remember, right? Because he was serviceable. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that problem. What we want
Joe Flacco, who's leading the
league. Before
Trent Dilfer, gotcha.
Dilfer, thank you. Pardon me. So I love the fact that the defense is kind of cresting right now, and you need that in certain situations. And that the good thing, the defense saved us, right? The defense balled out. And this is going to kind of sound weird, Joe. And I know Miami just came off of getting absolutely drubbed. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I laughing out loud? I'm laughing like a school kid.
You tee-heed like a little girl. You absolutely tee-heed.
Where are my little blonde ringlets? That's a different show. So what I was driving at is, even though they also came off a rough one, right? We came off a kind of substandard offensive performance, but that's the kind of thing that, it's hard to believe, but there are motivators, right? There are things like, damn it, we got to do better next week. And it's the perfect time to do better next week,
right?
Go down there and throttle the Dolphins. And I think that the offense, in my opinion, has got a little extra motivator. So that's a good thing. And I'm calling that a good, not with respect to players and this and that, but hey, a little extra motivator going down there with a chance. Like, and I haven't even opened the app today. I don't know where we are. Is this game for the two seed?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The two seed, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, the whole ball of wax, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole enchilada, the whole. I watched the rookie of the year today, actually, John Cannon. Do you remember where the little kid played, like, becomes a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs? But like that whole, the whole, like, yeah. So sorry, I got that whole John Candy as the sports.
May
the,
he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace, the sports guy. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, other good stuff from this football game. You know, there's a lot to be said for what they're doing on the ground. They now have their own. So they've swapped out Gabe Davis. They've put in Latavius Murray on the Buffalo Tush Push, the snow plow, or however they want to call it, as far as that goes. And I think what's funny is it's no longer where he's just set up behind Josh Allen. Like, literally, Latavius Murray's all up in there. Like, before the snap of the ball, he's got his hands firmly planted on the butt cheeks, the bottom cheeks of Josh Allen.
What a great opportunity, right? I mean, I met Josh. All I did was give him a high five, but man, maybe a tush grab That's going on my Twitter. That's my pinned tweet.
There's so much controversy over the brotherly shove and this play that the Eagles have made very popular, and other teams are doing, including the Bills now, about whether or not they're going to outlaw it, blah, 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 blah. And there's people that are like, you can't outlaw it. It's football. Like, they got to be able to play football. I got to think, however, if there's a rule that they're going to enact, it's going to be that you cannot have your hands on the quarterback before the ball is snapped.
And I think the rule used to exist that you couldn't propel a player.
So, oh, really?
I don't know when that went backwards, but it used to be such that you couldn't physically grab a guy and pull him, you know, toward the line of scrimmage.
Well, there's a lot of that going on, obviously, when you talk about like the whole melee stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the run game, there's a lot to be said for the run game. The defense, we could pine on and on and on for hours. The reason for this 4-game win streak is the defense, is literally the same reason that we lost the Eagles game, the defense. The defense has done a very good job, and they are, to your point, balling out right now. They're playing so well. It's hard to believe Terrell Bernard is the player that he is. It's great to have Daquan Jones back. I saw one of the online Twitter people that like do the medical stuff talk about the fact that like his whatever pec had surgery is only going to be at about 50% strength because he hasn't had time to really like probably build that muscle back up. So I'm sure that a lot of what he's getting right now is like pitch count reps just to get kind of ready for the playoffs, mm-hmm. provided we make the playoffs, which I hope we do. But yeah, the Rasul Douglas, obviously it was great to have Micah Hyde back in this football game. Every time he makes
a tackle. Yeah, and his presence was felt for sure.
Very much so. And every time he makes a tackle, I get nervous for him and his future and his family. Mm-hmm. But Khalil Shakir, if we're going to talk about the offense for a couple of minutes, Khalil Shakir, who's a guy that I was down on in the offseason. It's not a secret. I'm not afraid to run away from my takes like a lot of people do. But you and I
parted ways on that one. I was like, this kid's going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
they just got to use him. And he's been good.
He's been good. He shows up when you almost least expect it. But there's something to be said for whatever's going on with Josh as far as that goes. But we'll get to that in a second. Other good stuff. I love Ty Johnson. I love the energy that he's running with. But when you think about this football game, the Bills did what they needed to do, right? And I don't know where that plays with Joe Brady, because we've heaped a lot of praise on Joe Brady. And this is kind of two games in a row where it's – and I don't know how much of it's execution versus play call versus right decisions versus where you're at.
Yeah, you know –
interior of the offensive line that was getting manhandled.
Josh has to – we got to figure out a way in the first two drives to give Josh high percentage throws with good protection, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what everybody says. Everybody wants to do that for their quarterback.
Right.
But I don't see us scheming toward that. And I'd really like to see a little bit more. Let's just get it out there 4 yards. Let's just get a completion. Get the ball moving a little bit. And I agree with you. The running back crew – has been impressive this year, and we're lucky. We are really lucky that they finally trusted James Cook and feeding him the ball, and he's playing brilliantly.
Yeah,
and it's funny because we've had some drops at the receiver positions, right?
A lot of them.
Yeah. And it's just so like, you can't say it's just one guy. It's like, they're spreading it around a little bit, like, and it's a little aggravating, but we certainly can't have any more of that. I mean, a ball that's right here, catch the football,
catch the damn ball.
And
I jumped on the work a little bit early. I apologize, because I feel like I kind of took you off your point, but there's something to be said for just scheming guys open. And there's something to be said for just offensively, all of that stuff. Like, I got to hang out with Jerry this weekend. Jerry was in town, as you know, and I wish you were here as well, but he brought us boys, Jackson, his oldest, who is a wide receiver coach at Drake University, I'm thinking. He was talking about the fact that, like, play action, because the Cowboys game was on TV, and he was talking about how good of a play action team they are and how their whole entire offense is based off of play action. And he said it'd be great if the Bills did more of it, to which then I said, well, there's actually statistics out there and people that actually talk about the fact that, you know, the Bills are like this huge, impressive number percentage wise when they run play action, but they only run it 20% or 25% of the time. And then he kind of inferred, yeah, but even when they run play action, they're running it out of plays that they don't run normal, like run plays out of. Like, the play action is B when their normal run plays are A. And there's some weirdness in that. And I think it's just a matter of time before people potentially catch up to it. But they ran a lot of 12 yesterday. There was two tight ends on the field a ton.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Are they at the point, is this a game? Do you go into a game thinking, let's see if we can figure this out? Or is it like...
I think you only go into that with 12 personnel if you think that somebody is, you know, not fully healthy. At the wide receiver position, you know, maybe they had some concerns, but I don't particularly love 12 personnel. I, you know, but again, you know, I'm the father of offensive linemen. And when my kids wanted to play football, I said, you're playing offensive line, because there's always five guys on the field.
Right.
There's always, right. You know, always. Tight ends. Sometimes there's none. Well, I just get not to kind of pat myself on the back, but years and years ago when I was coaching freshman football for Bruno's team, you know, I had a conversation with our offensive coordinator, and, you know, this is when I learned to keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've never learned to keep my mouth shut. I'm talking to him, like, you know, we're winning a lot of games. And I said, how come our play action doesn't look like our running plays? He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, why don't we run play action off of ISO? We run ISO all the time. Why don't we run it off of power? You know, you're running play action off of running plays that we don't run.
Right.
And then I got the, oh, Mr. NFL, you know more than everybody. And I'm like, I don't need to know more than everybody to know that. I mean, everybody knows that. So
every defense you're playing knows that too.
although we did, I think we have been running a little pass play off of what I call the zone revert when either Spencer Brown or Dawkins is coming across the formation. So, that's a head scratcher for me, man. Head scratcher.
So you clearly, when you're talking about a Belichick coach defense, it's a different animal. It always is a different animal, and he's going to do things to you that you don't necessarily expect. But I found it interesting for the sections of the game that you watched when it comes to the offensive line play, which you've already kind of pointed out struggle. They're on the struggle bus on the interior, especially, but even on the run plays, it seems like when I was paying attention to the tackles pulling, because that is now our bread and butter thing, whether it's Deion going to the right or Spencer coming to the left. And it seemed like the Patriots were doing a good job of getting penetration to kind of almost disrupt that, like to get the guy off of his straight line to where he was wanting to go. So he'd almost have to step a little bit or maybe get chipped. Did you see any of that? Just curious. I'm sorry.
Well, it's, you know, what's interesting about that is I don't think penetration is such a horrible thing in that play because it's a longer developing play.
Right.
Right. And James Cook does a really great job of finding that spot. So if you have a little penetration and James can get around it, that just means there's a bigger void ahead. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're running straight zone or inside zone, penetration bad, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want penetration, but a longer developing play like that, it's not such a horrible thing. Think counter, which is basically it's a counter,
right?
You're bringing somebody from the far side, although it's power because it's only one guy, you can sort it out. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what makes the game fun now, is the variety of plays that they're coming up with in the run game. It's more fun to watch. I would just have to say this. No one can play perfectly every game. And if it's the right time to be off a little bit, then that was the game to do it. Whether it's Josh, the interior three, a couple of balls on the ground, not caught, that was the game to do it. And then you want to kind of finish. You know, there's only been two teams that have ever gone undefeated in the regular season.
Right.
Yep. Right. One of them won the Super Bowl. It was the Miami Dolphins of 1921. And then Belichick went 16 or 17-0 and then lost the Super Bowl.
Right. Lost
the so they won. Games. Right. They won 19. They went 19-1 that year. Right.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. So it's really hard. You almost in your mind, you're kind of like, whew, we dodged it. It felt a little bit like a loss by performance, but we won the game. We got the benefit.
Yeah.
But not the offense isn't skipping into the meeting room today, you know, thinking, hey, we kicked butt.
I think what's interesting about what you just said about the offense not skipping into the room, it's fun. We get transparency when we don't want it, and we don't get transparency when we want it, right? So there's an aspect of, like, you see quarterbacks that have bad football games all the time, and surely I need to be better. There's a lot of things that we could all do better, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then Josh is out there yesterday being like, I didn't throw the ball. Like, the very first question he got inside the stadium before he had even walked off the field, the first answer he gives is, if we're being honest, didn't throw the ball well at all today. And it's just like, maybe not that honest. Like, it's just, it's strange to me, but the good,
I'm okay with that.
It's just interesting to me. So I know there's probably reasons why he wasn't necessarily on point. Some of them personal, some of the other stuff we know. If I know this as a casual fan, I promise you Bill Belichick knows it, and everybody does too. Josh Allen hates pressure up the middle, especially from more than one person. One guy, he can manage it. If he's getting pressure from two guys up the middle in his face, he hates it. It's not something that he's comfortable with at all. I'm just saying, like, it's just interesting. Where I was going with that was, we have a quarterback, however, that when there is a big problem, it seems like, and I can point to examples like, you know, running to his left and throwing the football a couple years ago, he was very good going to his right, and he was very accurate, and he knew, and he actually said, like, he threw an interception or two interceptions running to his left, and he's like, I've got to get my hips open, I got to be better about that. He practiced it for a week, and then lo and behold, he started being good at it going to his left. So we know that he can fix this stuff. But what is something that you see that needs, over the last four games offensively, that needs to get fixed, in your opinion, to get to the playoffs and actually make this offense move the way that it needs to?
Well, I can say this, that I'm really pleased that we have a, you know, knock on wood, a pretty low number of negative yardage plays. Yeah, you know, we do a good job getting back to the line of scrimmage in the run game. I think that really, what it just goes back to, you know, we can't drop balls and we can't make bad throws.
That's right? Big. That's huge. Agreed.
And those are the, I mean, I could try and sit here and dissect it, but let's just keep it simple, stupid, right? The KISS method.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys game, same thing. He's 7 of 15, but there were three drops, two by Dalton Kincaid, one by Stephon Diggs. Those three are caught, and he's at 83% on the day, right? And
it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Right. And in that same token, I think the thing that they need to do is scheme earlier and better to get him some 6 to 8 yard throws. Just get him loose. Get the confidence up. Did we do Fichte, Endel, and Elmer?
No, I'm gonna get there. Yep, I'm gonna get there in a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't want to ignore our gracious sponsor.
Well, I've also kept them up on the screen longer, but yes, I'm gonna get to them before we move on to the Dolphins game, which is here in a couple minutes. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Joe, I mean, I'm optimistic because I'm a Bills fan, right? I'm ever optimistic.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, so, you know, I love my team. And I love that umbrella thing, right? Just because you're pissing me off doesn't mean that I don't love you. You know, you hold the umbrella in the rain.
Right.
And it's the way and the really every organization, right? I mean, the Chiefs weren't always the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had their moments. Look at Green Bay, right? One of your historic legendary teams. So you just got to keep the faith. You never know. We hope, we pray. We're not in the meeting rooms. We're not doing the scheming, but I think in order to be successful going forward, they got to start fast offensively. They got to score on the first drive. I just love it when they do that. It gets everybody pumped, and just continue to seek out high efficiency pass plays.
Yep. It's good. I mean, not dropping the football, starting fast, all those things we know about.
And remove the kicking teams from the liability category and put them into the neutral category. Not even the asset, just out of liability into the, we don't have to think about it.
It goes in the opposite direction, even for the receiving team. If the ball's being kicked to you and you catch it on the two, you can now fair catch it and move to the 25. Like, there is no benefit to running it out and getting stopped at the 20, maybe the 30, for the one time you fumble. The one time you fumble, you give up the ball, it's your own 20. It's bad. Like, everybody should either kick it out of the end zone or catch it, fair catch it, which then goes back to, well, why don't we just remove it from the game? You can't remove it from the game, but it is what it is. So,
remove it from the game, we might lose half of the European audience. they love it when we kick that damn thing.
I had a fun
conversation. When we went to Germany, my second year, you know, the Coliseum there, whatever it's called, in Berlin, it was all Germans, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't know what they were looking at way back in, you know, 1993. But every time we kicked the ball, it didn't matter if it was a kickoff, a punt, a field goal, they went absolutely nuts, man. I was like, you know, we're scoring touchdowns down here, and I don't know what you're looking at, but man, you kicked the ball, and they lost it. They're like, woo!
That's funny. I was talking to my dad yesterday. We were sitting in the stadium during like one of the commercial breaks, just talking about the whole kicking game. And I don't remember who he said. Somebody said to him, like, they were asking me, like, why do they even bother doing that? Why not just not do it? And I was like, it's such a big part of the game, and regardless of the fact that it's called football. But it's like, if you go out in the backyard as a bunch of kids, it's like, well, we're going to start with the ball first. Okay, well, we'll kick it to you. Right. I mean, that's just kind of, we'll kick it to you and then you get the ball first. Right. Versus no, we're just going to start right here. Well, you're not going to start there. We're going to kick it to you. So it's just how it goes. But yeah, let's take a couple minutes to talk about the Buffalo Bills heading into Miami for all the marbles for the AFC East for number two seed. If the Bills do lose, I'll get to that in a second. Before we do that, though, let's hear from our show sponsor. Let's hear from Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care.
It's time to say goodbye to the blur and hello to clear vision. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer are the first in Western New York to bring you Zeiss Smile technology. Along with our highly experienced surgeons, we promise an effortless journey to better vision. Gone are the days of fumbling for glasses or struggling with contact lenses. Embrace the freedom of superb sight, because we believe you deserve the world in HD. Visit us online at ficta.com and schedule a consultation. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer, we are focused on you.
If you are in need of some laser corrective surgery for your vision and you are in the Buffalo area, please give Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care a call and get your consultation scheduled. They are awesome, and we appreciate what they have done for us this season, being a part of the show. Yeah, so thank you so much for those guys. Happy New Year to Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, as well as to the Market Dominator team. But so going back to what we're going to talk about next, which is what's next. So the Buffalo Bills heading into Miami. The Buffalo Bills, all the marbles, one of three outcomes. The Buffalo Bills can win this football game, take the number two seed, win the AFC East for the fourth year in a row. They can lose to the Dolphins and be out of the playoffs, or they can lose to the Dolphins and be in the playoffs. The Steelers have to lose, or I want to say it's Jacksonville. Somebody in the comment section will correct me. My brain is not working right now.
Where's Richard Rush? Come on,
right,
Richard.
Right. Or Chris Jenke, the encyclopedia. But somebody will have it here in a second. But at the end of the day, we're going to know before this football game. So we're going to know the outcome of the Steelers game. We're also going to know the outcome of the other game. I believe it's Jacksonville. Is it Jacks or Steelers lost? So it's already there. So we're going to know both of those outcomes before our game Sunday night at 8:20. So going into that game, if Jacksonville Steelers both win, we know we have to win or it's over, like for us. If one of those two teams lose, if both of those two teams lose, we're in the playoffs regardless. The question is who do we play in the first round? And obviously, we have not had the number two seed, I don't believe, once. Have we had the number two? The year that we played the Chiefs we may have had the two seed the year we played the Chiefs in the Kansas City for the AFC Championship. Mm. But playing this year's playoff rounds for me, having the two seed is totally different because the Ravens, to me, as good as they look, as good as they are a wacky, kind of weirdly vulnerable team. They can mess up in a strange spot. And if they do, and what I mean by that is they're not as consistent as when the Chiefs were on top. When the Chiefs were on top, it was like they're gonna roll everybody. That's just what they do. Mm-hmm. The Ravens have a tendency to be vulnerable at times, which is weird. There's just an opportunity. Could you imagine AFC Championship game in Buffalo? I mean, good Lord, right? I mean, just unbelievable. Oh. So, yeah. So, what are your
with
first?
John Fina as the legend of the game?
That make it happen, One Bills Drive. Make it happen. So, the last time you were here for Legends of the Game, you were on the field, but that was the Patriots game, the perfect game, right?
No. I was in. I was there, but I was on the field at the beginning, but I wasn't the legend of the game.
Gotcha. You were just there with all of them when Thurman was grittying on the in the end zone down there. So yeah. So what are your first
show? What a show!
What a show!
What are my first thoughts about what Joe Miller?
Buffalo going into Miami, 8:20 Sunday night, Eastern Standard Time.
They lost Chubb, right? ACL.
Bradley Chubb. Yes.
And I saw that, man.
Xavier Howard is also not playing. They have a slew of injuries. They have a slew of injuries.
So who else got hurt, though, yesterday? Was it just
Ortiz? Tua got hurt as well, but he claims he's okay. So we'll see.
All right. Chubb and Xavier Howard. Was there another one that I missed?
I think there was potentially a third injury, but it wasn't quite as big of a deal as Chubb or potentially Tua. So I believe Mostert is supposed to come back. Mostert was not in the game yesterday, but he is supposed to be. He is supposed to be back for this football game. So.
Yeah,
but Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle is another one. So, but Jalen missed this last game. So there's a question as to whether or not Jalen's going to come back for this football game either. So yeah.
Well, you know it is scary when they get on a roll, right?
Oh, yeah.
So my expectation is they are going to really need to corral Tyreek Hill. And they're going to do it is going to be interesting. I think if you don't have Waddle at full speed, it obviously makes it easier. Right. Mm-hmm. But you're probably going to have to be, he likes to run those underneath routes. He likes to get out there 20 yards and come across the middle of the field. I think the key to the success is going to have to be where do you get Terrell Bernard dropping? You know, how is he making his reads,
getting
into a place where, you know, the window gets tighter? I think we have to pick Tua off at least one time. Two would be better.
Yep.
I don't think he does well. I think we have to disrupt him at the beginning, whether it's with pressure or turnover.
And we've got to get in it. Or disrupting the receiver. One of those three. Yep.
Right. Well, but what I mean by disrupting Tua is his rhythm, right?
Yep.
So don't let those guys string together first downs on their first drive. Don't let them build the confidence.
Well, I feel like that's going to happen because that's what this Bills defense has done since McDermott has gotten here. It's very much a let's see what they're going to do against us.
See, I disagree with you. I disagree with you in the regard that they do both things. And that's what makes me crazy is they will bring pressure. They'll bring a nice pressure package with games and linebackers and somebody off the edge. And then you're like, oh, this series is great. You know, the defense is so freaking vicious and aggressive. And then you come out, we got like a 10 or 14 point lead. Wow. And the next drive, you're like, where'd they all go?
Yes, that absolutely happened. So you don't disagree with me at all. We're 100% in the same boat on that
one. No. But I think what I took from what you said is we do it all the time. I just say we're like a split personality. We either have a drive that's all sit back or we have a drive that's all attack. And they're like, can't you do both in one drive? You know,
probably could. It seems like historically McDermott has been not 100%, 70% of the variety of, I want to see what you're going to do. And he kind of lets them, and they play soft. They did it two weeks ago, not this past week, but the week before. And they kind of let them come down the field and then they button up, right? They're like, okay, right. we know what you're going to do. We're going to button up. But yes, 100% to your point, that's what they did against the Eagles. They got it by, two, three possessions, and then allowed the Eagles to score 30 points because they stopped all the pressures. Speaking of pressure, disruption, all that kind of stuff, stopping Tyreek Hill, Matt Bynum actually was in the chat, and he said, hit Tyreek Hill as hard as you can. And I know the argument, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. I think you and I have talked about it. Because I've said, why don't they check him at the line? Put him on the – you're allowed to. Put him on the ground if you have to. And the comment is always – the response is, well, then he might run by you. He's running by people anyway. So what is the difference? Like, I just – for me, you've got to disrupt Tyreek, to your point. And what they're doing a lot of times now is they run him in motion to run away from a defender so that he can't be checked, which is fine as well. All that to say this, the Tua piece for me is interesting, and I don't want to insult excellence. So I'm gonna say it that way. I don't want to be a person that insults excellence, because Tua does something that I don't think we've ever seen. So you historically have had two good weaker armed quarterbacks in my lifetime in the NFL. Chad Pennington was one of them, played for the Jets, had a good decent career, was not a champion, but had a good career. Was not the guy that could make all the throws. So he had to live and die by throwing with anticipation, getting the ball out before the defense expected it. The other one, in my opinion, was Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers was another guy that didn't have, like, Phillip Rivers would throw like a 5 yard out and it looked like he was trying to throw the ball 80 yards. Like, he did not have a super strong arm. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but, and you can argue as to whether or not he belongs there. Tua is different. Tua almost plays chuck and duck football, just throwing the ball to a spot on the field. Like, it is amazing to watch him drop back, and literally the ball is coming out in 1.5 or 2 seconds before the receiver has gone four steps or five steps. Like, the receiver still has to, like, get out and break his route, and, like, the ball's already in the air. I don't even know how you defend it. It's interesting to watch, but disrupting that timing, to your point, is, whether it's at the receiver or at the quarterback, to me is vital in this football game.
Well, the way I think you have to disrupt that, and I agree with you, he gets the ball out so fast and he's thrown to spots, and he's just, his expectation is, you know, Waddle or Tyreek is going to get there. And they've shown that they can do that. I think the solution is you've got to bring safeties down hard. I think, you know, and that's a risk, right? But I think that's the disruption at the point of the catch. If you have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer flying in, that we need to see a little bit more of that aggressive play from the safeties.
Yeah, the problem is you open yourself up. If your safeties drop down, now you're opening up Tyreek to kind of go, what, 15 yards out and in, or 15 yards out and out, and there's no help.
I don't disagree with you, but, you know, you've got to play some gamble. You know, you got to play a little blackjack.
The good news is
you get a decent hand and the dealer's showing a four. You've got, you know, seven, dealer showing a four, double. What the hell, right? Double down. So let's go back to expectations now on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I mean, Chubb is out. I want to see us do some mini roll, get Josh out of the pocket, you know, flood the zone, run him off, flood the zone from the back, give Josh and a, you know, kind of a sweet throw read and get him moving toward the sideline. I just love to see that.
Yeah, I agree. The good news around all of this is the Bills have done a good job defensively against the Dolphins every time they've played them, including the game that they lost to the Dolphins last year. And offensively, they match up well for some reason. And Josh just, he's a Dolphin killer. He's the guy that, for whatever reason, even the first game that he lost against them, he almost won it. If Charles Clay had caught the football in the end zone, they win that football game.
Yeah,
which is wild to think about. But there's a lot that they can do. They're going to have to find some rhythm. To your point, they're going to have to come out fast. They're not going to be able to do one of these, we've come out and punted four times in a row. Like, if they come out and punt four times in a row, it could be, what, 17-0, 21-0 at that point in time in the game. Where are you at on the run game? Where are you at? Are you strong for this matchup? Like, establish the run early, or is it balls to the wall? If Josh throws for 500 yards and we win, that was the game plan.
No. I'm an offensive lineman. You run the ball. You figure it out. You get James Cook going forward. And I'll tell you this, like, just talking about this at the end of the show is just getting me too worked up. Like, I of all the teams in the NFL, I hate Miami. I hated them. They were our rival. Couldn't stand them. And it's Monday and I'm worked up and the game is six days.
Monday.
20 hours. Like, it's killing me. You know, I feel like I'm locked up right now because I'm thinking about the Miami Dolphins. I don't get this way with any other team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I really think, you know, that's, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Sealer, that guy, just, he vexes me. You know, he makes some really great plays at defensive tackle. I want to see us just expose that guy, just get into him, manhandle him, and run right at him and get the ball 4.5 yards a clip, you know, break 1 for 9. Just feed James the ball and just let him go, man.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah. We actually comment, Nostradamus says, can we talk about the team playing to its competition? We kind of already did that. We did that at the top of the show that this team is, it's kind of who they are. They play up when they're playing a good team, they play down when they're playing a bad team. And I think that bodes well. If they,
you're right, because it's this and then the playoffs. So hopefully we just play up to that level, right? I mean, there's no more Denver. There's no more New England.
Exactly. You
know, we don't have to play any basement dwellers anymore. No troglodytes are on the rest of the schedule. So no more Zach hopefully Wilson. You're right.
No more Zach Wilsons are out there. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bills kind of come out. But that is my expectation that the Bills are going to play well. I think what's interesting too this year is that the Bills and Josh Allen specifically have been so good on primetime. And I know that a lot of people like don't put stock into primetime. Oh, it's just primetime. They're thinking that's like somehow some sort of a marker for a player. Like, I got in a big fight with Trey Wingo on Twitter one time because Trey like called me out about the fact that like the Bills were good in primetime. And even though he said it before that like Russell Wilson is great in primetime, like he threw me under the bus. They have not been good in primetime this year. Like, they actually kind of, it's almost been a little bit like, ooh, yikes. So my expectation is that they find that. I feel like they're going to find some of that rhythm. They're going to find, I don't want to say get right for Josh Allen, but I feel like there's an aspect of like, okay, Stella's going to get her groove back in this football game, which to me, this is the game that propels us into the playoffs, especially if they can get the 2 seed. If they get the 2 seed, if at least 2 games at home, bring it on, in my opinion. If they limp into the playoffs, if they lose and back into the playoffs, they're still dangerous, but it makes me a little concerned.
Yeah, you know, Bruce Smith loved those primetime games. Loved them. You know, he was all about that. I hated him. I just saw, you know, at end of the season, sure, why not? You know, but like, you're staring like an extra 6 hours laying around waiting for the game to start. And it's just like, how many times could I flip through my pet playbook? You know, oh, forget it. I hated him. And, you know, then of course, coming back from Miami after a night game, you know, you may or may not, you know, get home before 4 a.m. and then you're totally wiped out for a day and a half. I'm with you, Joe. My expectation is that, you know, they see it. They recognize the struggles that they've gone through. They recognize that, you know, Joe Brady isn't going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But they have some evolution, and I think they put it together and they bring out a sterling performance. It's a hell of a hard place to play.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whether it's the humidity or the rain or, you know, that grass, once that grass gets a little slick, if it's, you know, it's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to blow them out. I don't feel like they blow us out, but, you know, I think we come away winning by, you know, 7 or 10.
Yeah. The good news is it's obviously after the sun goes down. So the humidity might be an issue. I mean, it's January in Miami, so I'm sure it's not going to be that humid, but the sun won't be a problem. The fans generally aren't a problem because usually the stadium's half full of Bills fans anyway. But what was the score prediction? You just gave me a score prediction. You don't do that very often.
No, I just say we come away 7 or 10 above.
7 or 10 above. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to give you a score prediction either, but I feel like I have to call this a Bills win, right? I mean, it's they got
to. Well, you have to.
Yeah. The only aspect of this game comes down to if we clinch before the game, so much of the pressure is off. Like if the Jaguars and Steelers win before we play, I am going to be a ball of nerves. Like nobody better come near me while the football game is on. So I don't want nobody texting me. If you've got my number, don't text me during the football. That's always like,
I'm texting you.
Then you're call. I'm at the game. I've got like two sets of gloves on, and you're like, Joe Miller isn't responding. Oh no, it was Jerry. Joe Miller isn't responding to my text messages. I'm like, I can't feel my hands, Jerry.
Jerry, the ginger is cold. He's like, looks like the Michelin man out there.
I was actually fine. It wasn't too bad. It was 38 degrees, no wind. It was a beautiful day for football yesterday. But
so, where'd you take Jerry for wings? Did you guys go to 9/11?
Yeah, dude, it was great. So we went. So it's 9/11 is a funny place because
where is it? First of all,
9/11 is in South Buffalo, just off of South Park. Right before Lackawanna, but like you go to Resurgence, it's huge. You go to Southern Tier, it's huge. But the food there, you know, they're great places. But the food, we want, like his boys were with them. Like, where can we go to get good wings?
And yeah,
We're not going to Elma, right? We're not going to Barville because it's so far away. So it's like, well, let's go to 9/11. Their freaking wings are amazing. So we went there, and like even rolling in, she's like, yeah, how many of you are there? And I'm like, eight. And she's like, yeah, I don't think I could seat you. Like, and the place wasn't packed. She's like, we don't seat more than six, and I can't split your party. I'm like, wait a minute. So if I get two tables of four, you're telling me no? She's like, your best bet is to hang around the bar. And even when we were at the bar, they were like, yeah, not so sure about this one. It's like, we have money to spend and food to buy. Like, what is the problem? But sure enough, like when the food came, it was unbelievable.
And we're in business, but we don't want any customers. Right. Take Jerry, your business somewhere else, damn it.
Jerry,
we're faking this shit here.
I don't think they were happy about the fact that like 12 of us showed up, 12 or 13 or 14, like a whole bunch of people showed up because Jerry was there, right? So it kind of got out that Jerry was going to be there. But he took one bite of a chicken wing and he like double-ticked and looked at me. And I was like, right? I was like, yeah. So 9/11 probably has the best buffalo wing. So the buffalo true hot flavored wing in Buffalo, in my opinion.
You got to take it next time. I got to tell you that when we went to Barville, I was like, this is fantastic.
Their Cajun honey butter barbecue is the best non-traditional buffalo wing I've probably ever had. Super, super good. So yes, the next time you're in town, 100%, we'll go to 9/11. So it's their food is great, and their fries are great too. So yeah,
Bruno made wings yesterday. Did a nice job.
Nice. Yeah. Did he double?
You know, I had this idea.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I would like to get either the 9/11 or the Barbill guy or Duff's or the Gate. Like, I want to hire him to come to Tucson to like two of my favorite pizza and wing places and just like give them like a 3-day freaking lesson, like training camp for wings in Tucson. Cause I'm just like, it's awful. Like people are like, oh no, this is great. These are great wings. And I'm like, no. And I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why they can't get it right. They're horrible.
It was funny. I'll leave the show on this. Jackson, Jerry's oldest son, his fiance was there. Michaela is her name. And she obviously had her first real buffalo wing, and she's like, oh. And I was like, that's why when you hear people say the wings in Buffalo are different, they just are. And she's like, yeah.
Well, and you know, like if I told you the tamales are better in Tucson, Arizona, or the enchiladas are better in Tucson than Buffalo, you wouldn't be like fronting me up going, oh no, we got great Mexican food in Buffalo.
Mighty Taco, bro. Come on.
I
mean,
I lived in the city of Buffalo. There was a Mighty Taco on Elmwood. I can't remember, but right next to a Jim's Steakout. Near, I can't remember. Not too far from Buff State, Coles area, you know.
Yep.
I ate there. I ate once at Mighty Taco in my entire time I lived in Buffalo. One time.
The only thing I'll leave you with that comment is the fact that, yes, Mighty Taco is king here still. And we have a couple now traditional good taquerias. So Left Coast Taco is great. Mexico City is great, which has actually been a picture on social media of Josh eating at Mexico City. And it's when you go in there, you get scared. But their food is great. La Divina is
La Divina. Which one was it you went to with Freddie?
Left Coast Taco. And okay. That was actually on Josh and Britt were the ones that were like, oh, Left Coast in East Aurora is really, really good. And it is. But when I went to Mexico City, I read the reviews the first time, and the people in Buffalo were like, they don't even have sour cream here. It's just like, oh my God. Yeah, because in Buffalo, Mexican food, if you don't have sour cream, it's not real Mexican. Because in the deserts of Mexico, what they have a plethora of is sour cream and refrigerators.
The traditional, though, is table cream, crema.
Yes, but it's just funny.
It's a drizzle. It's a drizzle. And it's so good.
But even still, when you go to Mexico, you don't get a whole lot of crema. Like, it depends.
No, but you can get a plate of cheese if you want it.
Queso?
That will never die.
John throwing out inside jokes on the off deck with John Finish. We have derailed.
Oh, yeah. Point. As we often do.
Yeah. So give me your.
Joe Miller, I'm John Fina. What?
You trying to close this show out before I'm ready? So,
yeah, man. I missed the end of that game because of you, you swine.
This one? Yeah. That's what happened was what expected. It went to overtime, and then Michigan, I think they had one drive, and I don't think Alabama was able to. Yeah. Alabama found a way to lose. It basically is what it comes down to. But yeah, any final thoughts before I get us out of here?
Yeah, keep the faith, Bills Mafia. Happy New Year. You know, keep working on being a better version of ourselves, and our team is doing the same thing. Believe and realize it's a game. It's for entertainment. You can be passionate. Just don't be disrespectful. 100%. And, hold your loved ones and your friends close and try to be, fair arbiters.
100%. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Overreaction Off Tackle with John Fien and Joe Miller show. The collab of collabs for the holiday season. Next week, we return to your regularly scheduled program. There will be an Overreaction post-game show next week, as well as an Off Tackle with John Fina show. You're like reaching over here and trying to touch me. It is so good to have you. Brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, as well as the Market Dominator team. If you are in need of eye corrective surgery, please call Ficta. And if you're in need to purchase or sell a home, please call the Market Dominator team. But for me, for John, for Buffalo Rumblings, for all of us, we love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.